With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Live from the Investors Bank studio, which has turned into the Investors Bank kitchen for the moment, it is Boomer and Geo on The Fan and across the country on CBS Sports Network. And joining us in studio is bacon on a stick, a block of, looks like, something or other with some other meat on it, and delicious food abound.
Am I on?
Yeah, you're
because,
on now,
because
yes.
David Burke is here with us, celebrity chef, multiple James Beard Award winner, an entrepreneur, a restaurateur, the man.
Three-time chef of the year.
Yes. It'd be every award you could possibly win in the culinary world, this man has. So it is a pleasure to have him join us for a couple of minutes here. David, good morning. What's happening?
Good morning, and nice to be here.
Oh, my goodness.
This is like bacon on a clothesline.
Yeah.
Is that
hanging
like
bacon,
thing?
Yeah.
What is this?
Well, you know what? It's one of our signature dishes.
Right.
And I ran some steakhouses for a long time, and we do have some steakhouses, but we put this on all our menus. A couple of reasons it works well for it. It's beautiful. It tastes great. But it's conversational, it's shareable, and it's Instagrammable. And those are things people look for nowadays when they're eating.
See. Oh, so it's got to be instant.
Well, shareable is really important, too.
It's fine, just eat some bacon and
go ahead.
Be quiet.
Oh, my God. And of course,
Al, come in here and grab a piece of bacon. Al loves bacon. He's more of a turkey guy, but, you know, he likes.
My goodness.
I got to get this off.
Oh, yeah. See, meat's okay. So you really think about Instagram accounts when you're...
Well, our food is, I started my career in the River Cafe down in Brooklyn under the bridge, and it has the best view, one of the best views in the world. So our food has always been visually appealing because we had to get people from looking out the window.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's actually pretty good.
Pretty good? Of course it's pretty good. It's bacon hanging on a stick.
You like
it's not going to be bad.
Bacon has maple syrup and mustard on it and a little bit of orange zest. Black pepper, of course.
Why the pickle under the bacon?
The pickle helps you digest the fat. You know, that's why they put pickles on burgers and such. So that you would eat that after you ate your bacon. That would help you digest the meat, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Man, I tell you.
Some people are pickle people, some people aren't. I'm not a pickle.
I am a pickle person there, David.
Yep.
You know, and now I'm feeling like being a pickle person isn't a good thing. That one of the best chefs in the world is not a pickle person.
I think it's what you grew up with. I didn't eat pickles as a kid. And pickles are an acquired, the acid is good for you, though. Yep, so there's a lemon there. It does the same thing, same effect.
This actually make a good Super Bowl party dish,
yes.
I think.
Right. Well, we have big...
Everything party.
Long clotheslines. So.
You have long clotheslines.
Like 50 pieces on there.
So really?
People go up, and then we leave the blowtorch out at the buffet, and you heat up your own, and you cut it with the scissors. So it's very... It's a conversational piece for certain, and it's actually easy for us.
That thing's awesome.
What's this?
That's a porterhouse. Porterhouse, dry-aged... It's dry-aged... It's sitting on a block of salt, but we age it for 45 days.
That's
in
a block of salt.
Is this Himalayan pink salt?
Correct.
Oh, bingo. Nailed that one.
How did you know about Himalayan pink salt?
Well, because it's a very popular salt, this Himalayan pink salt these days, and it's a block, and it's pink. So I figured to put two and two together.
I have never heard of a Himalayan pink block.
Well, get it together, man.
Yeah, you've probably seen the lamps and stuff they sell.
Yeah, well, maybe.
They're very, very healthy for you. The best salt you can possibly eat, you see it in spas now. They build a spa around it, put it in the saunas. It gets into your pores. It's the same. It's a healthy salt. I know it sounds funny calling salt healthy, but it's the same salt the body does crave.
Could he take that home and just like drop it in his like tub when he takes
that would take 2-3 days to melt. Yeah, that's how compact that is.
Wow.
If you ground that up in the powder, you'd probably have a garbage effect.
Do you feel guilty eating the bacon?
Not really. The maple syrup part of it, a little bit of guilt there. With that sugar, but no, the bacon's fine. See, David, I had to go on a very extreme health kick, because I got to a very unhealthy. I'm using some of our old reeds as a napkin, by the way. So if there's a paper towel in there, I could use it. But anyway,
that would be nice.
But I got rid of some of the carb stuff,
And so bacon, I don't feel all that guilty eating bacon. Bacon's fine. I mean, as long as I'm not eating a ton of it, like that one piece of bacon was fine.
And also the way it's cooked, a lot of the fat is gone because we cook it and slow. We render out a lot of the fat in the bacon.
Right.
And again, the amount of sugar that's left on that bacon.
Yeah.
Once it's, you know, it's just painted on.
So we're talking to David Burke. You know, this is like a Chef of the Year guy, Iron Chef guy, just a total stud. But let me ask you a question. When I go to a restaurant and I order a piece of meat like you got in front of Gio over there, I like it medium well.
Yeah.
Does that bother you as a chef?
No, not at all.
Tell the truth.
No, that's a great question. No, that's now if you buy it, listen, like most people around the globe eat well-done meat.
Right.
You know, I mean, people don't eat rare steak.
But I want it the way I want it.
You want, and that's the way you should get it. Now, here's the key. Here's the part when people get confused that beef is terrible when it's well done. Terrible steak is really terrible when it's well done. A good steak, even well done, is great.
It's going to be great.
Because it has enough fat in it, enough marble where even well done, a medium well, it'll still be juice, still have some juice and be ten and be good. So I defend people that eat well done steak. My dad loves well done steak. A lot of people like well done steak. And at the end of the day, if you like it, you like it. We cook it the right way.
See, Al, I told you, put these headsets on for a sec so you can hear Al, our producer. Because Al basically claims that, you know, he wants it the way the chef wants it so the chef doesn't screw it up. Is that right, Al?
Yeah, like no matter what it is, salmon, steak, I always say, however the chef would like to prepare it.
Oh, that's okay.
That's respect.
Yeah, and most chefs will probably cook it medium rare and they keep the salmon a little pink. But the best way to eat a steak is medium rare to medium because that's when the interior fat melts. That way it would be a little more succulent.
So what is the thing that annoys you when an order comes back? Like you have to have, so you're someone who puts a lot of passion, a lot of creativity into your food. And if you have something on a menu, it's well thought out.
Yeah.
You know exactly what the flavor profile is in this particular dish. And then some numbskull comes in and goes, you know what? I don't want this on it. I don't want that on it. There's got to be something where you're like, no. I'm not, I'm preparing this thing as is because I put my heart and soul
into it. For every item they don't want, we get charged $5.
Really? You're taking stuff off. See, I like that.
I like that, too. You know, I hear you actually run your restaurant like you're like the Bobby Knight of chefs. Are you all over your folks, or what goes on over there?
It's interesting that happened the other night. You know, sometimes we have tough nights, like you have a tough game.
Right.
And the excitement, and I compare it to coaching because when the coach, you're on the sidelines, I'm trying to get them, I'm directing traffic, like do this. And if it isn't running smoothly, our vocal cords get in play and we're showing a sense of urgency.
And
we don't curse and we don't reprimand and put anybody down to us, but there is a sense of, you know, I need that now, blah, 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 you know. But you got to be careful in the way you do it. And you also got to follow it up at the end of the night, like the end of a game,
right,
with a little pep talk.
Well, maybe like the Bill Belichick of chef as opposed to Bobby Knight, because Bobby Knight's got a little controversy around him.
Well, yes, intensity and kind. Right. I just use that because people know him.
Right.
But when I explain it to some people, it's like you can go this way, one extreme to the other.
Right. You never choked out your sous chef, right?
No. Not this decade.
All right, not this decade. That was you in the 80s. It was a different story.
What are these things here now?
These are the original cake pops. These are cheesecake pops that we created in 92 as a shareable dessert. And something you could share after a large meal.
Cheesecake pop.
I appreciate
take
it, Boomer. Thank you.
Pop.
No, it's all right.
It's portion control.
No, I'm good. Take one before I shove it down.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you, man. I'm not getting bullied into food this time.
A cheese block? What is this?
No, a cheesecake pop.
Oh, pop. Got it. Yeah, right in.
Yeah, come on in. Come on. He likes cheese.
Yeah, that's less than 100 calories.
That's less than 100 calories.
Yeah, it's great, man. I'd prefer not to.
Pop. It's like an ice pop or, I mean, like a lollipop. Oh, yeah. Hold on, this one right here. That one there? Okay.
Look at you. You're going off the deep end this holiday season, Al. Stuff I've seen you eat.
Look at Al.
Oh, my goodness.
Al, you get those in Seabright. At that David Burke Drift House.
Seabright? Yeah. I'll be there.
How many restaurants are you involved in now?
About 8.
About 8.
Does most of them are close to New York. I am. We're in the Garden City Hotel on Long Island. Seabright, we have David Drift House by David Burke, where I grew up. My brother's a chef there. So we're having a great year. We're up in Saratoga, Delphi Hotel, right in the middle of Saratoga. We have two in New York. David Burke Tavern is home base for me, and we have Woodpecker on 30th and Broadway.
Yeah.
We're opening in Fort Lee next month.
Fort Lee?
Yeah. Yep. And right in the new modern buildings, the two high, two new towers that are built up.
You got to trust a lot of people to have that many successful restaurants operating at your standard and your level. Was it hard to find those that many people to do things the David Burke way you wanted them to be done?
Yes, it is. What's getting easier now is that after 30 or so years of cooking in New York, it's, the idea is to stay local because I can pull some of the people that used to work for me back because knowing the recipes and the style and also knowing who you're working for, what you get into is very helpful. And people will move 50 miles as opposed to moving across the country.
You know, it's kind of interesting that you see restaurants come and go all the time. Right, everybody wants to get into the restaurant business. Everybody wants a piece of it, and I don't think people realize just how hard it is to do it. What are like the common mistakes that somebody who wants to open a restaurant actually gets themselves into, and then realizes 6 months into it that they can't keep up with it?
Biggest is undercapitalization is the biggest thing. You know, it's, the bottom line in restaurants is not easy to get to, and it takes a little time. You need if you're good, you need. 6 months of working out the kinks before you start seeing some money
And not having to worry about losing money initially.
And there's always something that you forgot about. You know, there's so many moving parts. Labor is an issue now, especially in Manhattan. Labor is going up again, and it becomes an issue. And then there's border health, there's rent, there's food costs, there's this bad. There's a lot of things
it's
that
never
hurt your weather hurts your business. If you're holidays not, hurt your business. Sometimes they help.
Oh, God. If you're not eating in one of your restaurants, what's your favorite restaurant to go to in New York City?
Give me a type of food. Italian.
Give me an Italian.
I like Maria, and I like Peasant. There's a restaurant called Peasant down on Elizabeth Street.
Okay.
And Maria is on Central Park South.
How about Chinese food?
Chinese food. There's a place called Ping down at Chinatown.
Yep.
And I still like Shun Li.
All right. So you have been on Iron Chef. There's this big last decade or so, big boom in a celebrity chef thing. Do you look at some of these guys on TV that are the quote-unquote TV celebrity chefs, and you're like, you know what? This is you are not really one of us. You're not getting your hands dirty. You're a celebrity more than you are a chef. And does that stuff annoy you?
That's a really good question because it comes up. Some of the chefs on Celebrity on the Food Network are really, really good chefs, and some of them are TV personalities that know how to cook.
Right.
And some of them, you know, like Rachel Ray is one who always says, "I'm not a chef," but she does a great job explaining people how to teaching people how to cook. And then there's some good chefs on the Food Network that actually have restaurants and are highly
like
qualified.
Scott Conant.
Scott's a good chef. Scott's a legitimately very good chef.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scott's he's a friend too, and he's a great.
I like that guy.
He's a great chef. Yeah,
Chris and then, Santos, another guy.
Chris is a great chef too.
Yeah, right, he's another guy.
And,
I like him.
There's others on there as well, and then there's some people that they hire that are more that teach. Restaurant chefs don't teach home cooks. They don't know how home cooks think. So you have other people they bring in that might be that's a home cook with good skills and good personality to teach a home cook at their pace.
I know a buddy of yours who's a huge football fan. As we talked to David Burke, chef and, of course, restaurateur, loves the Browns. And he's always pestering me around this, you know, the draft because they always have a high draft pick and everything. He's a pain in the neck. So I've actually heard a story where you and Michael Simon were actually out to dinner, I think, Mike with his wife, and all of a sudden you guys went to go a place where Donatella, I guess, had a restaurant?
We had a restaurant together.
Together, that's right. Yeah. Okay, so Donatella came out and sat on his lap in front of his wife. Donatella thinking that Michael Simon was somebody else, not Michael Simon.
Oh, okay. Right?
Yes,
because Donatella was partners with another chef who looks a little
just
bit
like
similar
Michael.
To Michael. Yes,
there somebody else looks like Michael, too?
Yeah. No, it's a bald
and
head.
And he's a chef,
thing,
right?
Chatterbox all the time. But I actually did Iron Chef with him. Craig,
Michael's
my former
great
partner,
guy.
I did Iron Chef a couple times. That's an amazing show.
It's really intense. You know, I did it against Bobby Flay many years ago.
Do we like Bobby Flay?
We like Bobby Flay.
We do?
I like him a lot.
Just making sure. Okay. Because I like watching that Bobby Flay. Well, I don't know. I'm telling you, there's a chef community thing.
No, that's a great question because a lot of people ask that question.
Yeah, like because I initially want to like him, but I feel like there's some jealousy things there that might be going on with him, and like, oh, you know, they put him on a pedestal. sometimes.
I've always liked him.
But he's a New York
guy. I knew him way before he even got on the Food Network.
Right.
And he's always been a solid guy to me. I like him.
Right.
And he works. He really is. The guy works hard. Whether he's in the kitchen or on TV, he's a hardworking guy.
For a guy like you, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Super Bowl Sunday, which is the most fun? And do you do the cooking?
Thanksgiving and Christmas Day, I'm at the restaurant. Depending on the age of the restaurant.
Okay.
Like David Burke Tavern, I'll be there because we just changed the name.
Okay.
So this Thanksgiving and this Christmas, I'll be there. Super Bowl, I don't work. I like to go. I've been to three. And it's a terrible day for my kind of restaurant anyway because we're not sports themed.
Right.
And we're not really a beer, you know. So we have a restaurant called Naughty Bar on the beach. That has six TVs. It's part of the David Burke Drift House, and we're gonna have we're gonna be there for Super Bowl.
What about this Gordon Ramsay screaming at everybody? This guy, he's not like this guy.
I used to work. Because you know what? You guys are right on. Gordon Ramsay is a very, very talented chef. I used to work with him on Singapore Airlines. We used to consult together.
Yeah.
But his shtick got him in a really good spot. At the end of the day, though, he can really post up some good food. If he were a chef in New York City working in one restaurant, he'd have one of the best restaurants.
Oh wow!
Yeah, now his training is impeccable. But he went into another area. But his yelling and screaming, and which he's kind of calmed down a little bit, got him to a good spot because there was a lot of truth to that. Couple decades ago.
Yeah, all right. But it also made for good TV.
Let's say, all right, the death row meal. Who's cooking it for you?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's a scary question, though. But What did I do? Death row, who's going to cook for me? I don't know. You got me stumped.
Oh, man. You have an answer, but you're afraid. So what you're doing here is you're afraid to offend your other friends if you single one out.
No, he's going
to
cook for me, all the guys that taught me.
All right. Very good. And then the one thing about Bobby Flay, you tell me if I'm right about this. So I watch these Beat Bobby Flay things, and Bobby Flay this, Bobby Flay that. So then when you watch him, he puts these Calabria chilies in everything, right? That's what he does, right? The Calabria chilies.
Well,
right?
Comfort zone.
I'm thinking, is that the secret to become Bobby Flay and a billionaire? Just throw Calabria chilies into everything? Is that what all he did? Because he's making what's your famous dish? And like the guy who's trying to beat Bobby Flay, go peanut butter on toast. And he'll go, oh, okay, fine. And he'll throw some Calabria chilies on that. And then the people eat it up and go, this is really good. There's spice to this. What is that? Oh, it's Calabria chilies.
Well, Bobby started 25 years ago. His first restaurant, one of his first restaurants was Mesa Grill. And that was like one of the first Tex-Mex. Remember that phrase?
Yeah.
That crossed over and started introducing, in New York, they started introducing the fusion of European food with Mexican food. So Bobby does that. So here's my thing with Bobby Flay on Iron Chef. He's the producer, obviously.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I compete with him. So, and it was really great. And I should go back and watch it. So and my two kids were there. So after the match, they called me Aluminum Chef, my son. He was like, so I tell him, I beat Bobby Flay, but he won.
Perfect. Well, David, it's great to see you, man.
Hey, good to
Thanks
see you
so
guys.
Much for coming in. And good luck with the tavern and everything else that you got. You got a million things going on. And I look forward to having dinner with you one night, hey, all right?
Good. Yeah, please do. Thanks. Right,
what do I do when I go into one of your restaurants? What name do I drop? Yours? Are they going to believe me?
I got a gift card for you, and I'm going to give you my personal card, too.
Because I need the right name to drop in these places. Because sometimes you're like, yeah, right, you don't know David Burke. I'm like, I swear I know him.
I always tell the hostesses or the manager? If somebody walks in and says they know me, assume they know me.
Right, that's really you know.
Just charge them more.
It's as easy as that. Well, there's about a million listeners right now that are going to do that.
Well,
in all of your restaurants.
You know, it does happen, but there's most of the time someone's waiting for a table and we're packed, you play by ear. If we don't have a table, we don't have a table.
That's the way it is. But he's he grew up in Bellport, lives out there now.
Yeah.
His friend owns a restaurant out there called Painters, and when he comes walking in, they all know him, so he gets whatever he wants.
Sure. Well, that's the same. Exactly the same true. In every business.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
appreciate it so much.
All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.